just popped in for some tomatoes. Even a little tomato would help.
If you've been to do your weekly shop in the past few days, you might have noticed a few gaps. Social media has been awash with pictures from frustrated shoppers of empty shelves in the fresh fruit and veg aisle. Now, some of the big supermarkets are taking steps to protect supplies. In Asda, you can now only buy three each of tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, lettuce, salad bags, broccoli, cauliflower and raspberries. And in Morrison's, from today, shoppers will be limited to two each of tomatoes, cucumbers, lettuce and peppers. The supermarkets say extreme weather in European countries where they source their produce has impacted supply chains. They say the measures are to make sure all customers can still get hold of fruit and veg. When there were food and fuel supply issues last year, the government's own Office for Budget Responsibility said Brexit had made things worse than in other countries. This time, some retail analysts say the problems are down to high energy costs and extreme hot and cold weather affecting crops across Europe.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this video, I want to talk to you about the ongoing food crisis. But I'm not talking about Sri Lanka or Pakistan or Cuba or Ethiopia or any of the countries you may be thinking of. I'm talking about the UK. As you saw at the start of the video, the UK is currently in the grips of a fresh food crisis. And in today's video, I want to go through the details of that. We'll have a look at what's been going on with regards to UK production, how much the UK actually imports in terms of its food requirements, what's been going on with regards to Brexit, because Brexit happened in 2020, over 3 years ago, but the impacts are still being felt. And a lot of commentators are saying that what's going on right now is a direct result of the UK exiting from its relationships with the EU. So we'll have a look as to whether or not that's true. We'll have a look at the current level of imports for the UK from the EU and analyse what's happened with regards to trade with the European Union. We'll have a look at what's going on with inflation and specifically food inflation. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is actually happening in the UK right now, what's going to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months with regards to food availability and other imported items in the UK, and what the prospects are for the rest of 2023, and what the impact of all of this is going to be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch everything, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to Buy Me A Coffee and Patreon, as well as YouTube Super Thanks and membership. And as always, I'd like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. Really, really appreciate it. Now, hopefully everybody watching this video is aware that the United Kingdom is an island. And in any island economy, you rely upon imports of certain items that are either not available in your country or it's not possible to create. And as a result of both that dynamic and the growing appetite for different types of food, the UK has to import a large amount of food every single year. And this chart, which is taken from the latest UK food security report produced by the UK government, shows the origin of all food consumed in the UK between 2009 and 2020. And as a quick reminder, the UK exited from the European Union on the 31st of January 2020. So the 2020 figures include 1 year of non-EU membership. So what this chart shows is that the UK produces around 50% of all of the food that's consumed. That's the light green section at the bottom of this chart. The dark green section at the bottom actually relates to UK exports, so you can ignore that for the purposes of this discussion. Not surprisingly, given the UK's location and also its historical relationship, the European Union is the largest source of all imported food, providing around 28% of all of the food that's consumed. The next most important area in terms of importing food is Africa, which equated to 4.4% in 2020, followed by South America, which equated to 3.8%, North America 3.7%, and Asia 3.6%. And this chart shows the individual countries that the UK has the highest exposure to in terms of food imports. And as you can see, the biggest exposure is to the Netherlands, which equates to around £5.3 billion worth of imports every year, followed by Germany at 4.5%, Ireland and France at 4.4%, Spain at 3.6%, Italy 3.1%, Belgium 2.5%, Poland 2 billion and the USA and Denmark 1.3 billion. So the UK produces around half of all of its food requirements every year. So let's have a look at what's happening with food production in the UK right now.
The seeds are sown, but the UK's tomato harvest is yet to bear fruit. And it's likely to be a disappointing one this year, rising heating and fertiliser costs are forcing growers to cut production at a time when imports are drying up because of poor weather. At Lee Valley, one of Britain's biggest fruit and veg nurseries, growers would usually have a crop of tomatoes ready by now, but they've had to delay the season by 2 months.
Weather in Spain and in North Africa, there's food shortages, and that's only going to continue because we've delayed planting. So where we'd have British produce on our shelves now, cucumbers, peppers and tomatoes would have followed, it's been delayed by another 3-4 weeks. So this is just the start of it.
In the UK, we produce about half of the food we consume, but the balance is likely to tip away from UK growers as rising food, fuel and fertiliser costs force them to delay or stop production altogether. And if imports can't fill the gap, then empty supermarket shelves could become a common occurrence. Morrisons and Asda have already started rationing some fresh produce, limiting purchases of tomatoes, cucumbers and lettuce to 2 or 3 per customer. But experts say consumers may have to put up with higher prices.
Unfortunately, we have seen inflation in food prices. We're anticipating that will fall as we go through this year, but I think we're still seeing very unusually high prices in supermarkets at the moment.
Food production in the UK is slumping as the country's reliance on imports increases. British growers say they want to help, but right now they can't afford to feed the nation.
So as we've just seen, the UK is capable of growing its own fruit and vegetables. These can all be done under controlled conditions. You have greenhouses, you can have heating lamps, all sorts of different methods are available these days to force grow fruit and vegetables. But the problem with doing that is it's an expensive way of producing food. You need to use large amounts of fertiliser and heating to get the results that you want. And as we've discussed many times on the channel, as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a large increase in the price of energy products. But also we saw a big spike in fertiliser costs because the majority of fertilisers that are used these days are nitrogen based and that's produced as a byproduct of natural gas and Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of that raw material. So we've seen a big increase in fertiliser costs and the net result of the increase in energy and fertiliser costs is that it's now much more expensive for UK producers to produce their food. So that's having a direct impact onto the price of food. But as mentioned in the video, a lot of the producers have delayed their planting season this year, firstly because there were shortages of fertiliser, and secondly they needed the delay to spread out their cash flow because of their increased costs. So the increase in input prices has really had a double whammy impact on UK food production. It's firstly made it more expensive, and secondly a lot of the producers are having to change their operating systems to try to manage their own positions. So the fresh fruit and vegetable crisis that the UK is currently going through is down to two reasons. Firstly, there's been a fall in the amount that UK producers are supplying to supermarkets. And secondly, there have also been some weather-related issues in Spain and Morocco, who are two of the largest suppliers into the UK, which has resulted in a reduction in the yield of their crops, and therefore there is less supply available. So in terms of getting to the bottom of whether or not this food crisis has been driven by the war in Ukraine or by Brexit, let's talk about the impact of Brexit. So what exactly is Brexit? Well, Brexit was the term that was coined to summarise Britain leaving Europe. So it was Britain's exit. Somebody smashed those two words together to create Brexit. Now, Britain had actually been part of the European Union since 1973. And the two main benefits of being part of the European Union were firstly, the freedom of trade. So goods could be traded between all of the member countries without having to pay any additional taxes. So it was a tax-free area. And secondly was the freedom of movement of people. So that meant that any citizens of the European Union could move to the UK and work without requiring a visa. So at face value, being a member of the European Union sounds very attractive. But the problem that Britain had with the arrangement is that as one of the strongest economies, it was required to subsidise some of the other countries. And therefore it had to pay over large amounts of money every single year into the collective pot. And that pot of cash was then used for investments and subsidies into some of the poorer countries. And over a period of time, this became a political issue, and a number of new political parties were created in Britain. And these parties demanded that a referendum be held to vote on whether or not Britain should remain in the European Union. And on the 23rd of June 2016, a referendum was held and a very slight majority voted in favour of leaving the European Union. It then took almost 4 years for Britain to be able to negotiate a deal with the remaining parties in the European Union, predominantly due to the fact that Northern Ireland has a physical land border with Southern Ireland. But the deal was finally agreed and Britain left the European Union on the 31st of January 2020, so over 3 years ago now. Now, the fact that Britain is no longer a member of the European Union doesn't preclude Britain from actually dealing with any of the member states. Obviously, in terms of geography, Europe is the closest area to be able to import things from. So Britain still has very strong relations with all of the countries. However, trade deals are now having to be agreed on a bilateral basis. So Britain has to agree deals with France and Germany and the Netherlands and Italy individually rather than as a collective group. And the two main implications of that are, firstly, there's some logistics around it. You need to put the documentation in place. And secondly, as Britain is no longer a member of the free trade agreement, there is potentially more cost involved in any of the deals. So let's have a look at what's happened to Britain's level of trade with the EU and non-EU countries since Brexit has happened. This chart produced by the UK government shows the value of UK food, feed and drink trade with the European Union from the start of 2019 through to June 2021, which is the most recent data that's been published. The yellow line at the top of this chart shows the value of imports and the blue line at the bottom shows the value of exports. So the first takeaway from this graph is that Britain is a net importer. It's importing a lot more food products than it's exporting. But as we just discussed, Britain only produces around 50% of all of its food requirements, and therefore it's no surprise that Britain is a net importer of food. So you can see that back at the start of 2019, when Britain was still a full member of the European Union, the total value of the food, feed and drink imports was around £2.75 billion. And you can see that there's clear seasonality in terms of the value of the imports. So the total amount imported in the spring of 2019 increased above £3 billion. It then dropped during the summer period when Britain is able to produce its own crops of fruit and vegetables. However, in the winter period, it then spiked back up to around £3.2 billion and then dropped down again. But really what we're interested in looking at here is what was the impact of Brexit. Now, as I mentioned a few moments ago, Brexit happened at the end of January 2020. And you can see that in 2020, there was a sharp fall in the value of imports directly from the EU. And if you look down at the exports graph, you can see that there was also a sharp fall in the value of exports. And these sharp falls happened during 2020 when there was a lot of confusion as to what was actually happening and the new deals hadn't been put in place with each individual country. However, if you now follow the graph forward through to June 2021, you can see that the level of trade has recovered significantly. And in June 2021, the value of all of the imports from the EU was around $2.65 billion, which equates to around $2.75 at the start of 2019, so a very similar level. If we now look at this chart, which shows the value of imports and exports of food, feed and drinks for non-EU countries dating back to 2019, you can see that at the start of 2019, the total value of all imports was around £1.1 billion. And if we run forward all the way through to June 2021, the total value has increased to around £1.25 billion, which I think is very interesting because it shows that the level of food, feed and drink trade with non-EU countries hasn't really been affected by Brexit, nor has the level of trade with the European Union. And one of the reasons for that is because Europe is close to Britain. So if you're importing food substances, particularly ones that have a limited shelf life, then it makes sense to minimise the distance that you're transporting that food over. And so Europe is the obvious place to try to source things. So Brexit hasn't really had a major impact with regards to the amount of food that's being imported directly from the EU. And just to give you full perspective, this chart shows the breakdown of all imports into Britain dating back to 2015. The yellow section at the bottom of this graph shows the percentage imported from non-EU countries, and the blue section at the top represents the EU countries. And what this shows is that between 2015 and 2020, the percentage of all goods imported from the EU represented around 68% each year, with the balance coming from non-EU countries. Now, in 2021, you can actually see the difference that Brexit had made in terms of all goods. So this isn't just looking at food. This is absolutely everything. And in that year, the percentage of imports from the EU dropped to 60%, with 40% coming from non-EU countries. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it hasn't really had as big an impact in terms of food because of the nature of food and the fact that you want to minimise the distance that it's being transported over. So the analysis we've just looked at shows that Britain is still doing high levels of trade with the European Union. But there are actually two direct negative implications of Brexit. Firstly, there is the cost, because Britain is no longer part of the free trade agreement, and it's having to negotiate deals on a case-by-case basis. And some of those deals may be more expensive because it's no longer in the subsidy system that operates within the EU. And the second factor that Britain's feeling the pain from is the freedom of movement of people. Because in the food industry, there are a lot of temporary jobs that are low paid that historically were filled by migrants coming in from Europe. Now, a lot of these jobs relate to farm work, people coming to farms and picking fruit and vegetables as and when they're ripe. And in the past, Britain benefited from this migrant seasonal labour coming in, doing all of this low-paid work, and then going back again. But unfortunately, since Brexit, a lot of those people are no longer able to come to the UK. And that's caused two problems. Firstly, there's been a shortage of people, so there physically hasn't been enough people to actually pick all of the crops. And secondly, the cost of the people who have been employed has gone up because of those shortages. And both of these factors are now causing a problem for UK producers because their costs are going up. And some UK supermarkets are now looking at cheaper imports rather than more expensive UK production. Russia's invasion of Ukraine had two direct negative impacts on the food industry. Firstly, we saw an increase in energy prices. We saw oil, gas and other commodities spike initially in the first few months and have remained at elevated levels because of the changes in the global supply chain and differences in terms of where countries are buying their energy products from. And the increase in energy costs is increasing the input prices for a lot of food production because, as we saw earlier in the video, a lot of it is now produced in greenhouses where they need heating and various other things, all of which require energy. So those prices have gone up. And in addition to that, transport prices have also risen. So if the UK is importing its food from Spain or Morocco or Germany, that food has to be transported either by road or by air transport. And the increased fuel costs have to be passed on by producers to consumers. But the other major problem that the war in Ukraine has caused relates to fertiliser. As I mentioned earlier in the video, the vast majority of fertiliser that's now used is nitrogen-based. And that nitrogen is a byproduct of natural gas. And the war in Ukraine has caused two problems. Firstly, there was an increase in the price of that nitrogen, and so we've seen increases in fertiliser prices. And secondly, as Russia is one of the largest producers of fertiliser, and we saw lots of countries introducing sanctions against Russia, we started to see shortages in fertiliser. And both of those factors have major implications for the food industry. Firstly, there's been an increase in costs. And secondly, there's been a reduction in terms of availability. And that's one of the reasons why we heard earlier that UK producers have been delaying their production. Firstly, there was the cost implication, so they were trying to spread out their cash flow. And secondly, there was the availability problem with regards to fertiliser. This chart shows the rate of inflation in the UK over the last 12 months. And this shows that back in February 2022, before Russia's invasion of Ukraine started, inflation was running at 6.2%, which is much higher than the UK target rate of inflation of 2%. However, following the start of the Ukraine war, prices started to increase rapidly and reached the peak of 11.1% in October 2022. And if you follow the channel, I'm sure you'll be fully aware that this was driven predominantly by increases in commodity prices. The price of oil and natural gas and food substances rose significantly. And as a result of this, the UK, alongside lots of other countries, started increasing interest rates rapidly to try to reduce spending. And over the course of the last 3 months, the UK has seen a reduction in inflation, albeit at a relatively slow rate. And the current official rate of inflation is running at 10.1%, which is still significantly higher than the target rate of 2%. If we now look at what's happened to food inflation over the course of the last 12 months, you can see that the trend through to October 22 is very similar to what we've just looked at. And food inflation increased from 5.1% to 16.2% over that period. However, despite the fact that interest rates have been increasing, food inflation hasn't reduced in the last 3 months. And the official rate for January is running at 16.7%. Now, we've just been through all of the details as to what's causing the rise in food prices. And this is obviously going to be very difficult for the UK government to solve, particularly given the fact that there are now shortages. And when we have shortages in terms of supply, that means that demand is exceeding supply, and that tends to force prices up. And if you follow the channel, I'm sure you'll be aware that food inflation is a major problem for a lot of governments around the world. And the reason why it's such an important issue is because it's indiscriminate. Everybody has to buy food, and the people who are affected the most when prices are rising are the poorest members of society, because they're spending a much higher percentage of their monthly budget on food. And so when you've got prices rising by 16.7%, that generally means that the poorest members of society are able to buy less things because they don't have anything in terms of savings. And so they just have to make decisions as to whether they're buying food or putting the heating on. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because food insecurity and shortages has been a regular topic that we've talked about over the course of the last 12 months. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, a number of countries have been hit with supply problems and also have run short of cash and haven't been able to afford to buy in sufficient amounts of food. However, the United Kingdom is the sixth richest country in the world. So we certainly shouldn't be talking about food shortages and food insecurity. And the purpose of today's video is really to dig down into the detail, to look at why the shelves are currently empty in terms of fresh fruit and vegetables, and whether or not this is related to the war in Ukraine, whether it's related to Brexit, or whether it's related to other factors. And I think what we've seen today is that it's a combination of factors that have caused these problems. There's no doubt that the increased cost of fertiliser, the shortages of fertiliser, and the increased transport costs as a result of the invasion of Ukraine have definitely had a negative impact on the food industry in the UK. Firstly, the cost of producing fruit and vegetables in greenhouses in the UK has gone up materially. And secondly, those elevated costs have also impacted on overseas producers and the transport costs of moving this food to the UK. But alongside those factors, Brexit has also resulted in higher costs for the UK because they're no longer part of the free trade agreement. And the UK is also struggling to access lower cost labour that historically came from a lot of the countries within the EU. And in addition to those factors, the UK's also suffered from poor weather. Over the course of the last month or so, crop yields in Spain and Morocco, which are two of the countries that produce a lot of fruit and vegetables that are imported directly into the UK, have been directly impacted by poor weather, and that's led to a reduction in the availability of supply from those countries. So we now know the reasons why there are empty shelves in UK supermarkets. But in terms of looking at what's going to happen over the next 3 to 6 months, it's likely that we'll see further supply shortages because the cost implications will hang around. We've still got problems with regards to food inflation. As we saw, inflation is running at over 16% in terms of food costs in the UK. And the high input prices that we talked about all the way through this video are likely to persist. So the UK is facing some major challenges, but one of the benefits that the UK has is that it is a rich nation, so therefore it will be able to pay more to import fruit and vegetables from other countries. However, that's likely to have a direct negative impact onto other countries and the global economy, because firstly, the UK is driving up prices by having to pay more, and secondly, it's taking supplies away from other countries. And that means that those countries will then have to pay more for their supplies, or that they will face having empty shelves as well. And that's the fundamental problem with food supplies. When there are shortages, the richer countries can afford to pay more. They can bid up in the market so they can continue getting all of their deliveries. But the poorer nations simply don't have that ability. And when the market prices go up, they will be priced out of the market. And that's when we could have a really big food problem all across the world. So it's likely that over the next 3 to 6 months, we'll see these problems persisting. And as countries like the UK bid prices up, it could cause a massive knock-on ripple impact for all of the poorer nations around the world. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.